Well, from what I've seen out there, oh, God, I'm not really sure I'd want to live to be 100. Not that that's going to be a problem, I think.
No, so. I mean, 100 of anything, is that's a big number. That's a one with two zeros.
Well, you know, a friend of mine said, you know who wants to live to be 100?
No.
Anybody who's 99.
Well, that makes sense, yeah. Any other year. Oh, wait.
Oh.
We're rolling.
Oh, well, let's roll. Well, I'm Rich.
And I'm Mark.
And we are two guys on Block Island.
What shall we do with Shopping Sailor? What shall we do with Shopping
Well, it's a little early, but Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And
happy 100th episode. Wait, let's try one
more time. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Happy 100th. One more time. So we're going to say one. All
right. Say 100?
We'll say 100th.
Okay.
Happy 100th episode.
Wow.
That took a lot.
That took a lot.
100 episodes.
100 freaking episodes.
Yeah. Regular, too. Not regular.
Not even counting minis.
Yeah.
100 episodes.
100 episodes.
Listeners, we have you to thank for it.
Yes, we do.
Because if you aren't listening, there would probably only have been
two
episodes. Yeah, we would have done
Pretty
one
much.
And then another and called it quits.
Yeah.
But so. I can't believe it.
Yeah, we made it to 100 regular episodes.
Amazing.
And I guess, you know, let's talk shopping with our listeners.
We
reformatted our schedule to drop year round.
Right.
So we decided to go every other week.
Right.
26 episodes every year, as long as we can keep doing it. So we're sort of going to do, this is like a Happy New Year coming up, and recap who we've had on the pod so far.
Right.
And sort of reconfigure when we do our recap of the season.
And what we actually call a season, I guess.
Yeah, and what we call a season. So
basically, I think what we're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we're going to, today will be the first episode of season 5?
No, the final episode.
This will be the final episode of season 4.
This is the last episode because this is 2023. Our next episode will kick off season 5 and then our seasons will run with the calendar year.
Got you. So the 2014. Can we go back in time?
Hey, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
So the 2020, I lost a decade.
That's okay.
So the 2024 year, calendar year, will be season 5.
Yeah, so our next episode is going to be the first
episode of season five. Got it. Does everybody have that out there? Did you get that?
It's so important.
It really matters.
Yeah, I think it really
You know, one of the nice things that I've learned about doing this podcast is that rules are for suckers.
Yeah.
You just make them up as you go.
Yeah, and adjustments aren't as painful. You know, like, did you ever change, like, the honey mustard that you serve with your chicken fingers? People go ballistic.
Yeah. Oh,
you know.
Oh, you mean like in the restaurants?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, people go crazy.
Yeah, for the silliest change.
Right.
But the pod, people seem to roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, and we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I like the switch to the every other week year round.
I do, and I think our listeners. I know our listeners have.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
How they like having us year round. So that's what we're gonna do. We're sitting down trying to schedule and plan guests, and that's gonna be the first guest of the next season.
Yeah,
but it's happening
in April. Yeah,
and
how do we work?
So
this?
Yeah. So since we're not even really,
we figured this was a good way to kind of like episode number 100. Boom.
Done. Season 4 ends.
Right. New year. Season 5 starts.
That's right.
And from now on, the year is the season.
Is the season.
Got
correct.
It. Okay.
Sound good.
All right.
Right.
If anyone has questions, email us and direct all of your questions to Rich, because this was his idea.
That's right. Or call your local town councilman.
Yeah, and lodge a formal complaint.
That's
write
right.
a strongly worded letter.
Ask for Molly O'Neill.
Yep. Tell her.
Ask to be put on the agenda.
Yes.
And see what happens. Might happen.
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, either way, what a year it's been.
It has been good.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of amazing and interesting stuff.
So I had another, I don't know, did we ever get, see, without the minis, I forget what I talked about, didn't talk about. So I had another wedding, and I don't know if we talked about that, but I had a wedding during the year. Another daughter got married, my other daughter.
Both your girls are now all married off.
Yep.
And you are, you've been empty nesters for a while, I guess, technically, but
yep.
this is like official.
It's official.
Yeah.
It's official. And my daughter Madison, you know, started this school year a few months ago as the social worker at the school.
So right.
She got an official position. I can't remember if I talked about that.
You did.
And my son-in-law,
Evan. How's that been going for
Evan's
him so
a new
far?
Son-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not this, disappointed yet.
How's the position been going for Maddie?
You know, it's a very secretive job because she interacts with children with issues and not even issues. It could just be that a kid needs someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, outside the family unit. But anyway, she's very tight-lipped. So,
well, I'm sure. I'm not asking for it. Yeah. But I mean, does she enjoy what she's doing? Is she enjoying
the
job?
She does. Yeah. But, you know, she did say it's a challenge. It's like learning a new, dynamic. And I also think it's... you know, she's dealing with a very wide age group because it's Block Island. Again, it's a BI factor.
Right.
You know, you're dealing with, you know, you're in one school with kids, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade that at any time could need to talk to someone, you know.
Right.
And so
it's a big job. Big
it's a big job. And but I'm very proud to say I've gotten great feedback. A lot of the staff up there tells me, you know, how grateful they are. And although she can't talk about children, I've had parents of those children say, well, I can talk about it because it's my kid.
Right.
And I'm so glad your daughter's up there.
That's awesome.
You know, so that's the feedback I get. It's so funny because she did a year of substitute teaching and she wouldn't tell me secrets, but she could at least comment a little bit on how the day went and God, these kids and this and that. And now all of a sudden you get nothing.
Well, like,
you know, and that's her job.
She can't,
you know, it's all confidential stuff. So
confidentiality. Yes.
But yeah, no, she's really into it and she's, and I think overall, I'm so happy that both of my daughters are in careers of helping. Young Minds is great. We're both working with kids. Lindsay's a speech and language specialist.
Yep.
Up in the Woonsocket.
The Woo.
And I'm so proud that they're enjoying what they do.
Yeah.
And to enjoy something that you can get paid for and you know, you're helping. That's just a great combination.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the case for both of them. And that's how they feel is what I'm perceiving. Yeah. So,
and we all know Patty's a fantastic person, but does it surprise you that you have two wonderful children considering that you were their father?
trick question. I don't know.
See what I did there?
Yeah. You see what you did. Yeah. Put me on the spot.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, you know, Well, I don't know. I always treated them like they weren't dummies. Like, you know, this is, you know, how you do things in life. Can't tell them not to do it.
Yes.
That was always my kind of guideline. Not too young, but you can't say, don't do this.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to be specific because you're going to do it.
Right.
So why don't I help you do it right and try not to F it up too much.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of how my parenting style was.
I have no children because I'm 100% sure I would fuck up my kids if I had them. I mean, there is zero.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
You don't know.
They'd be the bad kids, like at age 13, smoking cigarettes in the arcade behind the Pac-Man machine, you know?
And you'd be like, give me another quarter.
Yeah.
You don't know, though. I'm going to tell you this much about parenting until everybody can try to imagine and envision it. You'd be surprised. Most people step up to the plate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I had to, I'd probably be all right.
Well, I think you're out of the woods, and I think it's a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Whatever you like.
What else happened?
For me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You drove your cab a lot.
I did. I drove my cab.
Do you have any funny cab stories from the season?
You know, not too many. Most people are pretty just well-behaved. And, you know, it's just like serving. You got to kind of know who wants to talk and who doesn't want any input from you.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, it's all about how many questions can I get in this
cab
10-minute
ride.
And other people just want to talk amongst themselves and don't want you.
They took a $12 cab ride and asked $48 worth of questions.
Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's... you know, I got a little lost once with some of the dirt roads in the houses, and the realtor had this lovely large group had, you know, they had the sheet of paper, the fire number and everything. It was not the right fire number. And it was so, you know, but stuff like that happens all the time. But generally speaking, it's, you know, mostly the other cabbies are the entertaining ones. You know, the interaction of the different styles, shall we say.
Gotcha.
Of taxioling, but it's kind of fun, you know. I don't know. It, you know, you get all walks of life. The blessing compared to the restaurant, where if you get somebody who's miserable and grumpy and they're there for an hour, it's much easier because they're typically only in your taxi for about 10 minutes.
Right.
I had a great fun group. So I had this group hire me. So you can hire the taxi by the hour. For those of you that don't know that, you can say, you know, we need you for 2 hours and it's $100 an hour and we'll go just about anywhere you want. So they did, I guess there's this cool game on the, I don't know if I talked about this before. I hope I didn't. There's this cool scavenger hunt on, that's an app. So like when you figure out where you're going, for example, like Andy's Way, you hold your phone up and it shows a ship on the water and it gives you a tip to where your next clue brings you.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was a really fun time doing that for the first time. I'd stop at all these stops and let the group out. And they started asking me some questions in between. And I said, oh, yeah, we have a little cottage in Westerly. And, you know, we put a, you know, did this and that. And he goes, oh, did you do a glass door in your shower door? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Is it cottage 15? I'm like, you're creeping me out. But it was the guy who actually put in my, you know, did the install. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No way.
You get random things like that in the taxi, but I don't know.
That's cool. How was the season financially? Was it a busy season for you?
No.
It wasn't.
Well, right. It was weird. You know, the weather was everything. They're all weird. I don't know. How did you feel about the weather?
Well, again, I dipped in and out. You know, I was here 2 weeks and then gone 2 weeks and back. But, it was not a crazy season. No, by any means.
And the Harborside fire definitely hurt financially. There were rumors and amiss that were town was shut down. And I mean, it was for a day. For one day, they postponed the ferries because we still had fire equipment everywhere.
Yep.
But then it kind of opened up. But even when it did, they couldn't open up the what we call the hot spot. That is that taxi stand in the center of town.
Yeah.
That's among the taxi drivers. That's called the hot spot. They had to shift that down by like the Jersey barriers more towards Finns.
Oh.
So it just kind of, and you couldn't go through town. So every taxi ride involved, you know, it's not the people's fault. So you can't charge them for the extra ride, but you had to go loop around and do different things.
Yeah.
But the weather was, you know, my guests' business was fine with the B&B spaces because they book and they come whether it rain or shine. But every weekend had a rainy day and it just about.
Yeah, you know? It really did. You know, here's a question I had, and I've been meaning to ask you this.
Okay.
When town was shut down, right, and then it reopened, but that little section of Weldon's
Water Street, Chapel Street and Chapel Street,
that little between Eli's and Water Street, that little cut through right there, when that was shut down.
Now, and the front of the Harborside was shut down for a while.
Right. But okay, so let's a little bit after that when the fencing was removed, at least in front. So Water Street itself was passable on both sides.
Yep.
Right. But that just Chapel Street, that one little section of Chapel Street was shut down.
Yeah. But they left a walkway.
They did leave a walkway.
Yeah.
But the question I'm asking is, do you think during the summer that would be a good idea to keep that closed or turn that into just a walkway? And everyone would be up in arms about it, but
yeah, I think you would basically clog Weldon's Way.
Yeah.
And they're already.
But even if you made Weldon's Way one way, you can't really do that,
right? You can't. There's no way to do it. It's tough. Yeah. You know, I think there's solutions to traffic flow and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks.
Right.
So people complain.
Yep.
You know, they complain and they don't even know what they're complaining about. We tried a one way for a while.
When?
I'm going to say 5 or 10 years ago.
Wait, where? On Weldon's Way?
No, the whole town. They tried to make the town into like a one-way loop. Because if you think about it, you could have one lane of traffic and then you could have like the angle park car spots.
Right.
You'd like triple the amount of parking on Water Street.
Right.
You know, you pull off and
they
park.
They actually did that one summer?
They did. So they put up Jersey barriers.
When was, I don't remember this.
I think it was off season.
Oh, off season.
Yeah, it was either a shoulder or later in the season. So no, you wouldn't have seen it probably. And of course, you know, everybody went bananas
over it.
So yeah, it's tough. The doom of our traffic flow is that, you know, without forethinking, having the terminal to everybody coming and leaving Block Island right in the center of town is the hard part.
Right.
You know, because there's no real way to configure it with that in the mix.
Right.
So,
oh, well.
I don't know. I got a lot of solutions. I'll write them all down and send them to you.
We have tons of solutions.
I can fix everything.
I can fix it.
Yeah. Well, what about you?
What about me? Yeah, man, I had a good season. I mean, like I said, it was just wild with the whole tour and everything. You know, got here in... it's very strange, my Block Island life these days, as opposed to post-COVID, after, since, you know, getting rid of the restaurants. I mean, I went from, in my early days, getting out here in, you know, the beginning of May, and then leaving around the end of September, Columbus Day. And then once the restaurants happened, I was out here the middle of early March and stayed from March through November in some cases.
Yeah, always work to be done.
Yeah. So now that I'm back down to, now I am like totally a carpetbagger. And I literally show up like the middle of May, about a week or week and a half before Knicks opens. And then, you know, I'm here through Labor Day. And the past couple seasons, I've had to take off right after Labor Day because I've had other stuff cooking on the mainland. And I'd pop back for weekends throughout September. But this year with the tour, I left again. The third leg of the tour happened right after Labor Day. So I left after Labor Day, and then I only had one weekend between legs three and four of the tour. So I was back the last weekend in September for like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and that was it. So I didn't see a whole lot of the shoulder season in the fall, which really kind of sucked because that's my favorite time of year.
It is the best time,
you know? And I mean, I had a great time out there with Willie, but I'm you know, my FOMO kicked in big time because I'd be looking at Instagram and seeing my Captain Nick's family whooping it up on the weekends. And then like, they had this year, Chris and Jess and the crew and everybody had they did like kind of like an employee. Island appreciation party for our regular customers. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And that was after Columbus Day. I think it was the Sunday of Columbus Day weekend or Monday or whatever. And that looked like a gas.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I forget. I was in like Alabama somewhere, like watching all my Captain Nick's coworkers, you know, cutting loose. And I was like, oh man.
I think I actually stayed in one of the areas where you were on with Willie.
Oh, did you?
Is it like Orange something?
Orange Beach, Alabama.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, that was actually cool.
We stayed in a big hotel on a canal inland. So you're driving, say, west, and the ocean's on your left.
Yep.
And I don't know about, did you drive any of that area, or did you just?
No, I mean, that was one thing about tours. Like, you're on the tour bus, you sleep, and then you roll into the venue at 6 a.m., you get up, and then you're at the venue all day. And then at the end of the night, you know, at midnight, one in the morning, you get back on the bus and you roll out. It's dark when you roll in and it's dark when you roll out. So you don't, unless you have a day off or two in the area, then you don't really get to see anything. But I think I know exactly where, because Orange Beach wasn't that big.
It's not.
And the amphitheater we were playing at was adjacent to a large hotel on a canal. So I'm wondering, it might have been the one you're talking about.
I think it's a little mall, little Ferris wheel.
Yeah. It was right there.
It was right there, yeah.
No, yeah, that was a cool place.
That field there hosted the World Food Championships with the Dish Off the Block team participated in.
Oh.
I think they went there twice.
Okay.
And and it's but I thought it was interesting, if you didn't drive it on the Gulf Coast side of the road in and out of there, giant empty lots where a hurricane clearly like wiped out hotels and they didn't rebuild yet. At the time I was there anyway.
Yeah, leg four in the deep south was very interesting. We went from West Palm Beach to Tampa to Orange Beach, Alabama.
Yep.
And then to, I want to say, Pelham, Alabama, and then up into Mississippi. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's all a blur.
What I did find was like the stores up here, you go in like Newberry Comics and those kind of places, they all have the hats that say, you know, marijuana leaves or all kinds of stuff. Down there, very different. They didn't have that.
No. It was,
you know, Jesus loves you. And,
yes.
You know.
Very different vibe. Very,
different music playing in the...
You know, one of the to that point, you know, the first three legs of the tour, whenever we'd roll into the venue, there was, you know, amongst the... the people that were, you know, on the crew and stuff, there was a bit of cannabis use, let's say.
No.
But then once we got into Alabama and the Deep South, that kind of curtailed itself.
Oh, yeah.
Because they still, I think they still think it's the devil's cabbage down there.
They do.
I still think they believe that if you smoke weed, you're going to, you know, become an axe murderer and, you know, something even worse.
It's just a different culture.
It's it's a different culture. But I do have to say one thing.
Isn't that Willie's line, by the way?
What's that?
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons I'd rather not disclose. But if you're staying in a hotel there, don't leave nothing in your clothes.
Yep. Yeah. That's a line. But one thing I do have to give props to down south are the truck stops, especially Buc-ee's. Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
No.
Okay. I was made fun of by the entire crew because I'd never been to a Buc-ee's. And I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Who cares about a truck stop? Well, guess what? Now I get it.
Is it like its own world?
It's like the best gas station you've ever been to mixed with a Whole Foods, except the all of the gourmet food is based around like they had a beef jerky counter with just dozens of varieties of gourmet beef jerky. And now don't forget, we're rolling into these joints at like 2 a.m. and the whole crew, we roll off the bus and it's like you got 15, 20 minutes to go. And it's like that TV game show, Supermarket Dash.
Dash.
Where you're like filling up your, whatever, you grab whatever you can and get back on the bus. And oh man, I am sold, dude. Buc-ee's is great. Those truck stops are awesome.
That Orange Beach place had a whole jerky store too.
Oh like, yeah.
All kinds. I brought some back. I brought some back for Kirk. I brought back kangaroo jerky. Ooh. And rattlesnake jerky.
Oh,
and
wow.
They had everything.
They love their jerky down
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know how we got on that, but
who knows, whatever.
Yeah.
Talk about whatever. It was your year.
My year. So that was my year, basically. Dodging the cops, smoking weed, and hitting truck stops in the Deep South.
Yeah. That sounds like a memoir.
That was my shoulder season.
Is that going to be the name of your memoir?
maybe. Yeah. Dodging cops and truck stops.
Well, that sounds pretty good. It's no wonder you described your summer as flying by, but that's,
it went quick.
Traveling, I think, does. If I had to be like, I feel like you just got back and you're like, oh, I'm leaving in 3 days. I got to go back out. And then I felt like you were gone forever. But right away, you're like, I'll be back again. This, it's constantly.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's what, I mean, we pulled the podcast off, obviously, this season.
But
It wasn't without its difficulties. I mean, I know I was late on a couple drops. A couple technical things happened with the website and whatever. But then a couple times it was like I didn't get home until like late on a Monday, flying in from wherever. And then the next day was Tuesday, and I was just, I'd sleep all day Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then I was woke up Wednesday. I'm like, oh shit, it's Wednesday. And I look at my watch. I'm like, got to get the podcast out. So
we evolve. We're adapting.
Yes.
And we'll get it.
Well,
one of these years.
We'll get it one of these years.
Maybe about our 200th episode.
Yeah, 200th episode. Yeah,
let's try to make the next 100 perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. I think so.
But anyways, it was a great season here on the podcast, regardless of my opinion.
I'll talk some about that.
Yeah, talk about that.
Want to recap some of our guests?
Yes, because they were amazing.
I love, and I always said we should do almost like an outtake of us talking after, because there's so many comments and thoughts I have after each guest. So where do we start? Want to go with, since our last recap, we had Doc Willis kick this off.
Our season four started with Doc Willis.
Doc Willis.
A controversial figure out here on Block Island. I'm going to be honest. I was a little nervous about because you never know with Doc.
No.
What's going to come out of
his
mouth.
Or you do.
Or you do. Maybe that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
And but, one thing I learned talking to Doc is he opinionated? Sure. Is he wrong? Not necessarily about a lot of the things.
No.
But the other thing is that he loves Block Island and is so would. The way that he, remember his story, how he got to Block Island?
Yeah. Bitter freezing day in the 70s.
Yeah.
And everybody was sick and there was no doctor here.
Right.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know anything about Block Island. He got on a rickety old plane that with the engine barely started, flew out here just to help.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of guy he is.
And I love the whole, arrive to the hairy eyeballs, everybody kind of staring at him and, who are you?
Yeah.
By the time he's leaving, you just envision the town, running down the runway, waving and clapping as he leaves. And
right.
At least that's how he painted it. But, when he, I think at that time on Block Island in the winter, you were a little apprehensive of anybody who just showed up out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know? And
well, I mean, I
could
when
be
I,
an FBI agent.
Right. Which he also had happen, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, that story
yeah,
was crazy.
The one thing I took away from him is I know him as a opinionated and not no interest in delivering it. That's the only thing I would say. I wish he would deliver things a little smoother because he just delivers it. Like, that's that.
Right.
It's fact. And like you said, he's probably right. But the fact
sometimes.
That, yeah, sometimes. Well, he's right to himself. He's right.
Sure.
But he did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of helping people out there that I really didn't know. And I mean, honestly, it was very, I was very touched by some of the things, especially
absolutely.
When he talked about Meryl Slate and,
yeah.
And, Queen, no, Lady Di.
Yes,
you
Lady
know.
Di.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really, it was, he turned me around a little bit. I'm going to be just straight up honest with you. I didn't exactly love the guy, but didn't, I'm not afraid to have somebody on the podcast that I'm not best friends with.
Right.
You know, I learned a lot and I have a lot more respect from him.
I think that Doc embodies some kind of a real true spirit, a part of the spirit of Block Island in that, you know, yeah, is his bedside manner necessarily the greatest when he said no, not necessarily. But on the other hand, the things that he's done and contributes, you know, it's a balancing act, and that speaks to his person. Because you had a guy who spoke about his military experience, so you're thinking this guy's just going to be like a straight up like conservative, like military guy. But then he's got this artistic side that balances that out. He's this amazing artist with a real vision and a gift for capturing the personalities of this island.
Well, and after our episode, after we recorded, he did our portraits.
He
so
did.
We have to pick them up still. We're so dragging our
did
feet.
Did we tell our listeners about that?
I don't remember.
So
but, yeah,
tell them.
So
I
Doc,
think we just did. But.
So Doc basically reaches out to me and he goes, yep, you got to come see this. And he sent pictures first and he did a portrait of me and a portrait of you.
Yes.
And the portrait of me is very special because he used a photo from my daughter Lindsay's wedding night.
Ah.
And that's, so whenever I see the portrait, so there, and you know, he's giving them to us to hang in Captain Nick's and
that's
we got the okay from the boss to do that. So
All I can say is thanks, Doc. I am honored to have been a subject of one of your portraits.
Me too, because they are very good.
They
capture, you know, and as we discussed. But
technically, if you like, you know, an art critic were to look at it, they may say, well, this is, you know, not great. But
yeah.
I mean, there's something about what he's able to do. He knows his subjects. He knows the people that he's painting, and he does. He captures something about them, which is really cool.
So, you want to hear so. Ooh, I don't want to say too much because he doesn't like to do commission painting. But as a favor to me, I asked him to do a painting for a friend, and as an anniversary gift. And he did the painting, okay? And this is the wild part. So I asked him to do it. I went away for a while with these friends. And it was Pam and Nick, my friends Pam and Nick. And I meet Doc, and he had no idea. After he painted the painting, they removed the privets from in front of the house because they didn't like the way they looked.
Uh-huh.
And on the side, without even knowing that, he's like, I didn't like the privets in front of the house, so I didn't paint those in the picture. So unknowingly, the picture matches perfectly now.
See?
And the second thing is, as we've talked with Pam, this is our old family home, there's a little ghost that lives on the third floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he goes, I like to put a little something in each of my paintings like a secret thing. So if you look carefully, and I look, and there's a little tiny figure in the top window of the house.
Yeah, he put the
and
ghost
again,
in there?
And he had no idea about the ghost. So he did
crazy.
These two things unknowingly. So.
That's what I'm talking about. Doc Willis.
Yeah,
that
Doc
was a great
Willis.
One.
And then we had on a real fireball.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sue Hagedorn.
Sue Hagedorn.
I don't know. She was not what I was expecting. I don't know. Did you know her before the pod?
I didn't. The only way that I knew of her was through my buddy Charlie Weber, because Charlie had done work for her, construction work. And, you know, Charlie had mentioned her name. He's like, oh, dude, he's like, I'm working for this woman out there, Sue Hagedorn. You got to meet her, man. She's something else. And
yeah.
He told me some stories, said she was really cool and just interesting person. But I was not prepared for
no
half of what Sue brought to the table.
You talk about a full circle of bucking your parents and the system and the money and to go in the barefoot route and not want anything to do with that type of lifestyle, then going underground and
becoming a radical.
Not just
like writing, not just walking around carrying a sign protesting things, but actually carrying through and doing things as a member of, you know,
she said her nickname was Sparky.
Yeah.
I don't want to know any more about that, but
I mean, she openly talked about her jail time that she spent at the Charles Street Jail in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and then I found the funniest thing when she was like, well, then I decided I got to come back out of this life. How do I do that?
Right.
You know, and then went on to get all these degrees and now documentaries, and she's just phenomenal, the bomb. I thought pretty darn good.
And she produced that amazing documentary about Mary D.
Yep.
You know, which is, I mean, thank God she did that.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously we weren't able to speak with Mary D. So thank goodness there's some kind of,
again, someone capturing
a
time capsule of history of someone, you know.
Yeah.
She was, she was good.
Funny. Hilarious.
We get done. This would have been in like the outtakes. We get done and she looks at me. Now, I had only worked for her doing landscaping. She was one of our clients.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had no idea about her being the heir of the
Miracle-Gro
and all that stuff. So we finished recording and you remember what she says? She goes, huh. And you just thought I was another old rich broad on Block Island. And I was like, well, actually I did.
about how she came, got to the interview. Remember, she like locked her keys in the car.
Oh yeah,
and nor'easter blowing through. She's like crawling through the back window of her car to like get the keys.
Yeah,
too much, man.
Quite a hoot. And who was up after her?
Dickie Stinson.
Oh, what a great one.
That was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just the old stories of the fishing. You know?
Yeah.
And just what an incredible I'm so glad we got his story. You know. About the sight fishing for sword and all that, and the family history of the wholesale fish market down where now they rent mopeds.
Yeah,
just what a transition of Block Island.
Yeah,
but man, and then taking us up to where they would hire the planes to sight.
Yeah,
and just what a time.
Mean the story about going out in the dory. What was it about the bathtub, the cast iron bed? They'd put the
Didn't
they line the boat with a cast iron bathtub or something? So
the sword couldn't come. You know,
that's what I couldn't believe. Is that you're out there, like, you know, in this little they were kids. How old was he? 15 when he was doing
even
this?
Younger.
12.
Yeah,
he's out there,
and then the fog would roll in, and they wouldn't know. Where they, because they drop them off in the dory tend the buoy, the barrels.
Was it he that got picked up by like the Russian freighter and ended up?
No, I think that was somebody else.
That was somebody else. But that happened.
Yeah.
I didn't dream that.
They brought him on board and they thought they lost him. And meanwhile,
he's drinking vodka with a bunch Russian of Russian sailors.
Crew. man.
Yeah. And the other thing I loved about Dickie is, you know, he was from Maine originally, right?
I don't remember.
I think he was Maine because his accent. Was although he's been down here, he still got that bit of that Maine accent, which I loved. You know, it's just like you really the old timers, the guys that work the sea, and the salty guys like that are. But it's going away. I mean, guys like that, they're not making any more. Like,
well, it's
that.
A whole livelihood that doesn't even exist anymore.
Right.
You know, even right now.
Yeah.
You know, from a time when menus all the way to New York had Block Island swordfish on the menu. And now.
And they still do say that, but there's no actual Block Island.
It was a great guest.
Fantastic.
I enjoyed that a lot, you know.
Yep.
Then, of course, he's missed because he's passed away, but we had Peter Wood on. We were lucky to capture him.
We did. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, what did you take away from that one? I know what I took away.
Well, should we get real?
I don't know
if we talked about this.
I don't know if we did either, but
no, I don't think we, but I think now we should probably talk about it. So when Rich told me that he had lined up Peter Wood as an interviewee, I kind of was like, uh-oh. Because truth be told, years ago, in the Block Island Times, you know, in the letters section, when actually the Times actually, you know, printed things that mattered. We would
dig.
I'm going to say it. I had a little back and forth with Peter in the letters section over a couple issues, and it was I'd say less than gentlemanly on both of our parts.
Of course.
And whatever, you know, we said our piece, and then life went on, and whatever. And I'm like, this guy doesn't even know who I am. This guy has no clue who I am. He's never seen me. He doesn't know me. I'm not like an Islander. He's an Islander. He's, you know. So when I was like, whatever, fine, let's interview him. So I was wondering if Peter would remember that even, because how old was he? He was 80.
No, 90s, 80, I think. 94, 90.
Yeah. So I'm like, there's no way. So Peter showed up to Rich's. We were actually recording at Rich's place that afternoon. And I remember, and I'd never met Peter ever face-to-face. And the door opens, Peter comes in, and Rich says, oh, Peter, this is Mark. Do you know Mark? And Peter just looks up at me and goes, hello, Mark. And I'm like, the way he looked at me, I'm like, oh, shit, he knows. He knows. Fuck, fuck. I'm pretty sure. Maybe he knew. Hey, maybe he didn't. Either way.
I think he did. You notice with old people, and they tell you the same thing. They, I don't remember what I had for breakfast, but I remember you being an asshole 10 years ago.
Yep.
20 years ago.
Either way, the point is, and to Peter and my credit, I've matured anyway a little bit. But yeah, we sat down and it was like, whatever. We had a great conversation with Peter.
Yeah.
You know, and again, what a life.
Oh my gosh. Just taking your dad, what is his father gave him money for the college for his kids. And instead he bought land on Block Island.
Yeah. He bought.
Go
ahead.
I loved his arrival story though. They came, they rented bikes. They went down to Dory's Cove. I think he said he went spearfishing.
Yeah.
And they cooked the fish on the beach. And that was it. He knew,
right?
That was his story of his love story of Block Island.
And then he went on to take over the Block Island Times.
Again. And that's what I took away from it, was he brought accountability to the meetings.
Yes.
We've had guests on. Do you recall, this is not in this past season, but we had on Edie Blaine, and she said, oh, you just came in and made your request to the town council, then we told you to go wait. We'll tell you what happens.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly, there's a reporter letting people who can't be at the meeting know what's happening in the meetings.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty creating accountability.
Yeah. It kind of needs to happen again, I think. It would be nice if the Times did some journalism instead of just reporting on big sales.
Well, you know, and now it's gotten the Zoom meetings make it easy, but I don't think it's the same as being there. Like you can watch every meeting now, as you know.
As
I found out the hard way.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, how do you know about that? You weren't there. Like, oh, I watched it on TV. What?
What?
I forgot. Everyone could see it. So,
But no, Peter was fantastic and learned a lot again about, and another guy who's like, you think he's one way and then you sit down and talk with him and you find that it's a lot more complex than you at first thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was good. I'm so glad we were able to capture him.
Me too.
Sorry, he passed away.
Yep.
And that was a first for us. I don't think we even played his episode until he had passed away.
We didn't. In fact, I think you and I had a little bit of a conversation. Like, would that be like...
I think it was okay.
Yeah, I think
it was okay.
The right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's who he was.
Right.
If he wrote he wrote all those articles, they're still there.
So yeah.
I think it was good. And again, thanks to Robin Lewis, because she really...
Yes.
Was taking care of him and visiting him and helped make sure he got to us safe and sound. So, you know, then we had, who was next?
Oh, Gail Ballard.
Oh, yeah. Gail Ballard Hall.
Cool lady.
Yeah.
Makes a mean Brandy Alexander.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Fun stories from the old days.
Yeah.
Hard to believe I met her when I was like 13 years old.
It's crazy.
Like, time flies.
Yeah.
And my favorite line from that, I'd never heard it before. You asked about her husband Jeffo and and she called him Magnum B.I.
Magnum B.I. Yes.
Like, that one's never leaving my memory.
The stash. Just one stash to rule them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe we talk about when she was on though. It'd be great to get a bunch of them Halls together and
I would that would do, be a trip.
Know. Yeah.
That would be a trip.
Yep.
Yeah. And then just to see, you know, again, like Gail's another one. You know, to see her progression or to hear about her progression from someone who just shows up here to like, falls in love with the place, bartends, marries an Islander, and then just the way that she now is, I mean, she's, you know, real estate and just watching her life unfold.
She's finally got her shit together.
Finally.
It's about time.
That's but, it. Yeah.
I loved having her.
She really needs to loosen up and lighten up though. She's too serious. Way too serious, don't you think?
No.
I'm kidding.
I know that.
Yeah.
I love her laugh.
I love her laugh too.
When you get her going.
Yeah.
Yep. We did a few vacations together. I've had some fun. I went freshwater fishing with Magnum BI down in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, he woke me up with a bottle of Bushmills at 5 a.m.
That'll do it.
Our ride's almost here. Get up. Okay.
Well, you don't want to go into a fishing trip unprepared. Or sober, man, for that matter.
It was hot.
Was it?
Yeah.
I bet.
Hot and burning with a bunch of booze in it. Well, listen, we got a few more guests to review, but why don't we take a quick break for our sponsor spots? What do you say? We'll be right back. Please listen to our ads, support our sponsors, and hang on for a minute. We'll be right back with you.
Hey, Rich, guess who I'm dressed as?
Let's see. You got crown, beard, trident. Are you a professional wrestler?
No, I'm King Neptune, duh.
Oh, sorry, King Neptune. Oh, you know what? The Neptune, that reminds me, I got some family coming out and they're going to stay up at the Neptune house.
Oh yeah, I love that place. They've got 23 modern condo style units, right?
Yeah, what's great is they've all got full kitchens with full size refrigerators. You know, maybe you don't want to eat out every night. You want to, you know, make something at home, or maybe you caught some fresh fish that day and you want to cook it on your own.
Right. You know what else? They've got great views and a heated pool, tennis courts, gas grills, picnic tables. They've even got a game room with a pool table for the kiddies.
Yeah. I mean, it's got everything you need to stay there and enjoy a great visit on Block Island. Sammy and the staff, they're always on hand. If you need anything, they're right there for you.
Sammy is so sweet and so nice. And you know what? The staff's great. And the best part is the location is awesome. You're tucked away from the hustle and bustle of downtown, but you're still a short walk to everything. The beaches, restaurants, you name it.
Yeah, I don't think there could be a better location. And, you know, they fill up quick in the summer, but the shoulder season is a great time to visit them as well. They rent spring and fall. Check their website, NeptuneHouse.com. Cooler?
Check.
Ice?
Check.
Drinks?
Check.
That's everything.
All right, let's head down to Fishworks.
All right, I'm excited for this trip.
I am too. And you know what's cool about Fishworks is, I mean, hey, today we're going to go out and try and catch some striped bass, right? But you can get bluefish, fluke, sea bass, bonito, whatever's in season.
Yeah, you can book a light tackle or fly fishing morning charter with Captain Chris for up to three people.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. I invited some friends, so we might have to go out on the Harley with Captain Hank because they do half trips and full day trips for up to six people.
Oh, and Captain Hank is a hoot. And of course, the shop, you know, the Fishworks Tackle Shop, they have everything you need, including pointers. If you don't want to go on a charter, they can sell you what you need, tell you where to go and how to do it.
Yeah, totally. I think I might pick up a hat and a t-shirt too, because their merchandise is so on point.
Yeah, good looking stuff. They're located at 40 Ocean Avenue and they're open every day in season, and great merchandise.
They really do have some cool stuff. And if you want to check it out online, you can purchase all year long at www.bifishworks.com.
All right.
How cool is that?
Ah, I love it.
All right. Let's go catch some fish.
Hey, Mark, you want to grab a bite?
Yeah, I'm starving.
All right. Where should we go?
Well, I kind of want to go somewhere where I can look at the ocean while I eat. So how about the beachhead?
Ah, sounds good to me. They're right across from the ocean.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right on Crescent Beach.
Great local hangout, you know?
And you know what I love about the beachhead is it forever. Remember, it was always the local hangout spot.
Yeah, and if you don't want to sit outside overlooking the water, it's great people watching from the bar. You get to watch all the cars and bikes going by.
Totally, because the bar is right there in the big windows. You're looking out right onto the beach. It's amazing.
Just sit there, drink one of their famous mudslides or a signature Bloody Mary. I mean, they got so many good drinks.
So many good drinks. Oh, and you know what else is great? Is that they serve fresh, locally caught fish, and they have fantastic lobster rolls.
Yeah, hot or cold.
Which one do you like?
Oh, one of each.
Yeah, me too. I'm down.
That's the answer to that.
But wait, maybe we should wait until 3 o'clock.
All right.
Because they do Buck a Shuck every Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, and it's $1 oysters.
Well, I'm down for that. So, you know, what if we get a whole bunch of people want to come with us?
Hey, no problem. They got lots of space, and they have a special events area in the back. It's reserved for weddings, rehearsal dinners, anniversary parties, whatever.
Wow. Well, it's settled then. I'm ready to go to the beachhead. How about you?
Yeah. Check out their website at beachheadbi.com.
When Lila Delman founded a real estate company in 1964, she was not afraid to do things differently. Raising a family and running her own company, Lila lived and loved history, preservation, and Rhode Island's unique landscape of homes. Over the years, Lila Delman's dedicated team of best-in-class professionals have transformed this third-generation family business into the iconic first name of Rhode Island luxury real estate. To date, Lila Delman's legacy lives on with great passion as the company remains fiercely committed to its reputation of unparalleled client services and excellence within the market. Here on Block Island, Rosemary Tobin has been the number one top producer for Lila Delman Compass from 2018 through 2022. When the longtime owners of the Atlantic Inn decided to sell, they trusted Rosemary to handle it, representing both sides of the transaction. Talk about trust. Rosemary has been in real estate on Block Island for over 20 years. She is a proud year-round resident along with her husband Dave and her son Zane, and her roots in real estate run deep. Rosemary's mother was an agent in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area for 35 years. Besides real estate, Rosemary is part owner of Eli's Restaurant and can make you a perfect martini to help celebrate the sale or purchase of your new home when the time comes. So when you're ready to purchase or sell your home here on Block Island, be sure to give a call to Rosemary Tobin over at Lila Delman Compass. All right, and we're back thanks to our sponsors.
Thank God.
Thank goodness for you. Yeah. Yes, thank God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then after we had Gail on, we had Jeff Wright from the Block Island Power Company.
Yeah, now he's a guy he became a kind of know. Like I kind of knew him. I said hi. He was very friendly guy. Whenever you'd see him on the street, smiles and hellos and just, you know, oozes positivity.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's probably a big part of the things he pulled off and the success. You know?
I agree. Because now, and here's another thing about Block Island. It's like, you know, at times when there's some transition happening on the island, it's such a big deal. Everyone's like, oh, we can't do that. Oh, my God. And like, remember all of the, you know, back and forth about the power company going from being privately owned to a cooperative, right?
Yeah. Co-op. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying like anything like that should be taken lightly, but, I found Jeff to be very one of our most forthcoming guests in terms of saying, being honest about how bad the infrastructure was. Because of course, I mean, at the time, nobody wants to go on record talking about it. But I mean, he didn't have to do that, and he was like, "Yeah, it was really bad. Like, the electrical, the wires were frayed to nothing in certain places." And
look at the difference in the power outages and power supplies and everything's, you know, I haven't had to replace an appliance since they've brought everything up to snuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just so informative too.
Yeah.
Like I feel a lot of people, I could be wrong, but I feel a lot of people bitch and moan and complain because they don't know the facts.
Right.
And they don't understand. And,
or somebody tells them something that's incorrect and they just believe it. And
that's true. Often that's me doing the telling. We do it right now on this podcast.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
But we tell people that.
It's got to be true.
Yeah.
Rich and Mark said it on the podcast. Yeah. So, you know, how can it not be?
You should not believe us ever.
Man.
But so Jeff was great. And he brought us beanies. Remember that?
He brought us Power Company hats.
I'm
going to
wear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to break mine out any minute.
And he said, and shockingly, he said, more. There's more info and more to talk about.
Yeah.
He basically told us, he goes, I'll come on again. I got so much more to explain and talk about. So I think he'll be back.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was easy and fun, you know.
Very easy, very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from Jeff, we went to my buddy and guitar player friend, Rob Davis.
Yes. The man who we watched grow up on a stage.
Yeah.
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 And it was just great.
He went from just a wide-eyed little, you know,
with a wet soccer dad.
Yeah.
With a guitar dad.
Yeah, guitar dad. Yeah.
Big Al. Yeah.
And and Rob, you know, ends up becoming the number one guitar slinger on Block Island.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
I'm going to go with number one. He's the best. I can't think of a better guitar player than him on Block Island.
Yeah, I think so. Currently. He's good.
Yeah. Just don't tell him. Don't let it go to his head.
No. Well, he's not allowed to listen to the podcast ever since that incident of, you know, with the margaritas.
Oh, yeah, and the stuff and the thing.
No, I'm just kidding. That's how we start rumors.
Right. We're starting rumors.
No, but yeah, he went from being the kid to, you know, now he has girls crushing on him and he's singing it out and, you know, he's good.
He's good. And you know what I did? I said this in our employee end of season employee party at Nick's, but I had to thank Rob publicly because Rob filled in for me while I was out on the road with Willie.
He made it possible.
He made it possible for me to do that. So, and he did a great job when I was gone. I mean, he, you know, there was some, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm getting older, Rich, and I forget things every now and then.
Oh, I noticed.
And, you know, there were a couple things that maybe fell between the cracks that I didn't cross all my T's and dot all my I's. And, you know, Rob was like, no problem. I got you. Don't worry about it. You know, and he just did a fantastic job over there covering up.
And I loved his stories about, you know, what it was like growing up with your dad as a cop.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was some fun stuff there.
It was good stuff.
How old was he, did he say, when he started there? Was he like 16, 15, 16, 17?
I think he came out, no, I think he was 19.
19?
When he played his first gig with us.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, 19, yeah. I believe. Pretty sure. Well,
he owns the stage when he's on it now. He's good.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's playing his usual, you know, 9 or 10 gigs a week somewhere right now around Rhode Island. So,
you know,
check him out.
It's great to be famous, but it's good to just do what you love and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And that's good that he's living that dream.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Then. Be careful.
Be careful.
Just, no, I'm just kidding, because of the bees. But Tracy Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Talk about knowledge.
I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know it was going to go there, but just the bees of Block Island. And then, so no one was doing this. So I decided, all right, I'll rescue bees and, or I'll help get them out of somewhere and, you know, and having different people helping her. And, but just what a wild, I love learning. She was good. She was a great one.
And her journey too. I liked that. I liked in Tracy's interview, I liked, especially how she was very honest about those, you know, her years coming here and then, you know, doing the crazy young early 20s Block Island party thing. And then hitting this point where you realize
you need a change.
You need a change. Yeah. And she, you know, decided to become sober. And then she, that's when a whole nother door opened. And then her housing, you know, as everyone knows, housing is such an issue here. And there was a point where it seemed like she was ready to pack up and just be like, well, that's it. I guess I'm closing this chapter. And then the island chose her, know, and
gave her a shot,
and she's still here. And, you know,
and the dandelion lemonade.
Yeah.
Or is that what it was? Yeah. It was dandelion lemonade, right?
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. And it sells out every week.
Yeah. And now she is just a wealth of knowledge and doing important work with, in terms of, you know, the bee, stuff.
Yeah. We promised her a visit too. We never went. We got to try and go do that.
We have to, you and I, cause we've done the same thing with, Scott Cummings and, former first warden, Kim Gaffett. Too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We have to go on bird watching.
We make a lot of empty promises.
We do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it hurts anybody cause they don't care.
Nah, nobody cares.
It's not like I promised to show up to cover their shift.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but we did. Time is hard.
Time is a motherfucker.
It is, man.
It's a motherfucker. Anyways, Tracy Finn and the bees were great. And then after Tracy,
Kevin McBride.
Kevin McBride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that dude was much cooler than I was expecting.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect.
I think he felt the same about us. Like I won't jump ahead, but I will. Here's another one. This is an outtake after, you know, we were all done. We were wrapping it up and he goes, oh, you guys are pretty good. I might have to listen to this thing. I was like, oh.
I mean,
is that a compliment?
Well, you know, it's always interesting for me when we get really, like, Kevin is a professor of Native American Studies at University of Connecticut.
Yeah.
So it's always really a combination of interesting, intimidating, and, you know, exciting when you get someone who's that smart, for lack of a better word, and that pedigreed and has studied something so intensely. Because, you know, you and I are like a couple of idiots, like just trying to figure things out. But maybe that works to our advantage because we ask simple questions, trying to understand it. Yeah. But at first I felt like he seemed a little quiet and was kind of like, who are these dipshits?
Yeah.
And then I feel like we were talking about like the 60s or him in college. I was like, oh, so you went to a lot of Grateful Dead concerts. And then he smiled and went, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, now we got him.
I was going to say, it almost like he came into this like it was, here we go, another lecture.
Right, right.
And then a few minutes in, all of a sudden he realized, oh, no, this is different. Yeah. I can have a little fun here.
Yeah.
And, you know. And I loved he... you know, now I'm going to try to do the same thing, but clearly I asked about, you know, excavating on Block Island, and there's one house where they agreed to build it on pilings.
Yes.
So
right.
Clearly we knew there was something under that house that couldn't be disturbed, but he was very diplomatic in describing that situation.
Right.
And there on the learning end of it, like, isn't he the one that told us like fishing boats have dragged up woolly mammoth skulls?
Yeah.
Like I would have never even imagined that.
Yeah.
Like I would have never imagined that the land went out, you know?
Yep.
That's because you never read a book, Rich.
Right, maybe.
But, yeah. You know.
Well, it was also, I thought, a nice extension of the interview we had with Pat Cobb from season three.
Yep.
And, you know, Pat was hyper-focused on Block Island Native American artifacts and culture. Yeah. And Kevin was able to kind of expand on that and bring it out to a larger scope, you know, around the...
He's good. I love experts. I love having experts on too.
Me too.
Because it's so much learning there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, wait. I'm it's so hard live, you know, while we're recording live with the person to digest and think of the next question because I'm already, you know, I'm going, woolly mammoth skull.
Right. Like,
Wait, what was I supposed to say? Like, next? what should I ask?
How much does a woolly mammoth skull weigh? I wonder.
Yeah. You know, and the fact they just dump them overboard because they don't want to deal with, the paperwork.
Yeah.
To, you know.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. That was
Throw it back. Quick, we don't want to have to fill out all those forms.
Oh, man. Wild.
But it was wild.
Yeah.
So,
Kevin
all right.
was great.
And then we can't say wild without bringing up Molly Price was next.
Wow.
What a wild, fun time that was.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on record. That was one of my, they're all my favorite interviews, but that was really one of my top ones.
You know, she came out of the gate, like right away, like having fun. And
she did.
And it was good.
It was really good and not at all. I mean, talk about, again, we love the tangents, right, here?
Yeah.
Like, I love it when we talk about Block Island and when we talk about what's happening on Block Island and what's your favorite place to get a mudslide on Block Island and blah, blah, blah. But I love it when it starts on Block, but then it just goes boom, left and right and zigs and zags. And
well, we've said it before and we'll say it again. It's about, for me, the podcast is about who makes Block Island what it is.
Right.
Because anybody can come out and go to the town beach, but to know that the guy sitting next to you, what he did in the 60s on Block Island or where he was before he came to Block Island or just who makes up Block Island is it has its physical attributes and nature that make it amazing, but it's people that make it amazing. So finding out their backstories is really, it's kind of like what makes this island tick?
Right.
You know?
And Molly's backstory.
Oh.
I mean, you know, she comes out, she's got two, she's one of the three sisters of Three Sisters Restaurant.
Yeah.
And her parents made them include the third sister so that she wouldn't cry and feel bad. And then how she worked there with Bridget for a bit and that didn't work. And so she moved on. And then, I mean, obviously her career as an actor is impressive, and what she's done in the entertainment world is incredible. But also the fact that once COVID hit, she moved out here, and now there's the writers, the
Actors Guild,
SAG, all of the Hollywood shut down over the summer. And what does she do? She takes a job waiting tables.
Yeah,
like you know, that's kind of crazy. Like, imagine... But
you gotta do something.
Well, yeah.
That's kind of... She forwarded us on the side. I don't know if you saw it, but an article about, you know, oh, I thought I had my big break. It was younger actors and actresses, or I should say earlier in their career.
Right.
And, you know, they did, but all of a sudden a strike came along, and, I'm back at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know?
And then all of her work that she has done to become a death doula. Which we discussed, you know, which again, what an amazing concept. And that was my favorite part of the conversation when we get, I mean, we just started talking about death. We literally talking about death.
Yeah.
And the reason she was like, why don't we talk about death? Why is there such a stigma around it?
Everybody's going
to
do it.
And she, the way that she was able to talk about it so eloquently and casually and, I don't know. I loved that interview. It really was.
My grammar school friend who chimes in a lot to us in quick emails, Gerard, he was like very jealous because apparently he began his career as a New York police officer right when Molly's first big break in acting, The Third Watch, came on TV.
Yeah.
So he was a new cop in New York and a avid fan of the show. And so he expressed to me how he was a little envious that I got to, that we got to sit and chat.
He's a Molly Price fan.
He's a Molly Price fan. Yeah.
We all are now.
Yeah, we
are. After that.
We should be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She's a hoot.
She was. And then after Molly, we had the pleasure of chatting with Tanya Breton.
Oh, yeah.
From the Spring House.
Yep.
Well, she's the special events coordinator at the Spring House.
And what a job that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I would freak out. Yeah. I used to do rehearsal dinners at my restaurant, and I would get so stressed out because I knew that that was kind of important to a family. But I couldn't imagine, you know, dealing with multiple brides a weekend with, we got a wedding on Saturday and another one on Sunday. And when do you make the call on the weather? Like, because, you know, they got the ability to move it in.
Yeah.
But I always hated when I closed the outside sections of my restaurant and the sun came back out and people were pissed. They couldn't sit out there because I sent the server home.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, you know, this wedding on Block Island and you convince them that, look, the weather's a little sketchy. We need to do it indoors. It's, you know, it's tomorrow morning.
Right.
And then the sun comes out. I don't know.
I'll tell you, who better to have to be the one to handle that situation than Tanya? Because she's just so positive and cheery. She's the perfect person for that job.
She's adorable.
You know, she's adorable. And her history here, her family history here on the island, you know, her family's been here for a long time as well. And so she gets it.
Outtake after that one, she was like, oh my gosh, I had all the stuff to talk about my family and stuff I never even got to.
Well, outtake, I mean, she got me hammered on red wine. Like, remember?
Oh, she got you hammered.
So, yeah, she got me. Yeah, she overserved me. But we...
Well, someday you'll have your Tracy Finn moment and you'll stop drinking.
Yeah, any minute now. Any minute now. But no, you remember that day we were at... I think Tanya's... here, I'll let you in on a little secret. Now, we recorded our interview with Tanya back in February of 2023.
Right, right, yes.
Now, Tanya came over. I flew over for the day.
Yeah.
We did two interviews that day. And Tanya came over and it had started snowing already and it was questionable as to whether or not the planes were going to fly. Tanya came over. She brought a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
And so it was afternoon. So why not? It looks like I'm stuck here.
It was like 8:30 in the morning.
What are you talking about? And record a podcast, right? Yeah, obviously, that's what you do. So I end up, you know, getting a little like tipsy, maybe, let's say. You could probably hear it. I admit it in the podcast.
It's okay.
In the episode. But, you know, so the reason that it took so long for Tanya's episode to come out is because I really wanted to, I had to sit there and listen to the episode and make sure sentence for sentence that I didn't say something completely stupid. I mean, any more completely stupid than I
usually
do. Right.
Yeah.
And because I honestly, the last 20 minutes of that, I don't remember. And it took me all season to have the time.
Wine is dangerous.
Yeah.
Wine is dangerous.
Yeah. But you know, I trusted Tanya. I felt like I was in good hands. It was a safe space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember. Did I end up staying over that night or did I fly back?
I don't remember. And I didn't drink any wine.
Okay.
I don't think.
Doesn't matter. Well, either way.
I had the wine experience I talked about on the wine pairing dinner.
And right.
I drink bourbon, beer. Like I can drink bourbon until the cows come home usually and not, you know, get, I don't know why. I just can do it. you know, put a few glasses of wine and look at my wife. I'm like, hey, like four glasses of wine. I was like, like my hat's off to anybody who can enjoy a few glasses of wine and
yes.
and not well, have a hangover.
Obviously, that's not me. but anyway, so thank you, Tanya. That was a great conversation. And sorry it took so long to get your episode.
Yeah. Oh,
but that's why. That's literally why. Because I needed the time to sit and comb through it and make sure I didn't. Anyway, after Tanya, the final interview of the yes. season we did was a two-parter.
Two-parter.
With Chuck McMillan.
And you had never met the man.
I had never met Chuck. I knew his son.
I met him a couple times, yeah. but not in any in-depth conversation. So, was I prepared? Probably not.
No.
No.
Who were you? Could have been prepared for this guy? How old is he? He's
84.
84 years old.
Yep.
And
amazing.
Amazing.
Amazingly transparent, too.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like he's always done what he wanted to do. And but he did talk about having to have like kind of a double life,
yeah,
a double agent because yes. he had to perform professionally and be that person,
right?
But in his heart, he was always thinking this and that, and concerts and Block Island and
music.
Loves music, yeah. I had no idea you two were gonna go.
We almost hijacked, yeah, again. We almost hijacked another again. The music person. Yeah.
I never mind that, it's fun,
yeah.
I learn a lot when you know. He'll say some obscure name of some direct producer of an album, and you'll be like, yeah, yeah, and you know what else he produced? I'm like, what?
Like, you're like, guys, if you need me, I'm going to go make a sandwich. Yeah.
While you guys talk about Jerry Garcia, you know?
yeah.
But just, and again, what a life of, you know what I decided that day? I quit.
Yeah.
I quit my job. You did.
Yeah.
you know? But yeah. then, and another one full, you know, full circle, you know, self-admittedly, you know, flunked or he said he ended up not finishing his dropping out of college.
Yeah.
Or kicked out. I think he said kicked out. I think
yeah.
he kicked out. Got the boot. Didn't make the cut freshman year.
Yeah.
Did the army thing, did this. Then he realized I better do something. And goes on to end up teaching.
Right.
You know.
After like a very successful career in advertising
yeah.
in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, went back to school, got more degrees, just all around, you know, and some touching stories. He was just
very
you know,
touching.
Yeah. It was just, you could just tell he was such a,
yeah.
you know, then he says he's on the senior Block Island, senior advisory.
Advisory
he's
board. Like, a, yeah.
I wonder what some of them are going to think after hearing
I know, because he's telling yeah. all his stories about, you know, anyway. You know
acid.
you know, tripping on Owsley acid, but no,
yeah,
less,
yeah.
which was like, as we.
And I love how he hit the, he's an avid listener as well.
Yeah.
Like we have guests on that never listen right. nor will ever listen to the podcast and
yeah.
they're lost. But, and talking about hearing Molly talk about the Book of the Dead and
yeah.
how that dovetailed into his
into the
trip and
yeah.
then going down the art.
Yeah.
And, God, and falling in love and
how about the
couple of weeks back from yeah. the army.
uh-huh.
And he's like, I guess I better go tell my mom I'm
yeah.
back.
yeah. Well, and then how about the first time he arrived on Block Island with his now wife or his wife?
Yeah.
And, you know, he pulls up to the dock at Payne's and, you know, docking the boat and she like yeah. takes a digger.
Yeah.
Like almost doesn't even make, barely makes it out of the dock. Yeah. And there's like, you know, the peanut gallery up there. You yeah. think they... give her a hand? Nope. They're just sitting there watching her.
So I'm coming through a whole fleet of sailboats.
Yeah.
So of course,
oh, right.
I'm reading my book about sailing, and yeah. I know that I have the right of way. I yeah. can do that. It just,
and
know.
It plows right through Race Week.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Yeah. He was just great.
Yeah.
And then I mean, that brings – go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, and in fact, so again, I don't know if we didn't plan this, but we started – the season with Doc Willis, which was a two-part episode, and then we ended the season
oh, yeah,
with another two-part episode,
yeah,
which is
that's
bookends, kind of like bookendy.
Yeah.
Another, didn't plan it, just happened that way.
Oh, you know who I think we missed out on here?
Who's that?
Miles.
Oh, my God. How did we do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I see. We skipped on. Oh, yeah, I see where
I was scrolling through my phone, and I went right over it.
So...
he was right after Molly Price.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So between Molly and Tanya, we interviewed Miles Willie, Chris Willie's and Jess Willie's son.
And you know what revelation I came to since before I got here?
What's
and
that?
To record? It's we had three generations from that family on this podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
That's right. I think I pointed out that we had three members of the Willie family, but Chris, Jessica, and now Miles, and then we still need to get Abigail, and then we'll have all four. But yes, you're right. Mike Dugan. Yeah.
So we had Mike Dugan.
Yeah.
Who is Jess's dad.
Yep.
Then Jess. We had Jess. Oh, I mean, not in that order.
Right.
But, and then we had the grandson.
Right, Miles. Wow. Good point. Oh,
hilarious.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And devious.
I can't.
A little bit devious.
You know, oh, yeah, definitely.
He's going to knock his parents off so he can take over the Captain Nick's empire. And how is he going to do it?
Volcano?
Pushing his parents into a volcano.
Well, no, there were some poisonous spiders involved somewhere, too.
Oh, right. I think that's what it was.
But he just, I think he's going to have his shit together.
Oh, yeah.
And again, my one-line commenter, Gerard, my friend, he says, yeah, you know, Miles might make a good fill-in host if one of you
No doubt.
Yeah. He goes, he could cover one of you guys, and I think he could.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But just a great.
Of course, you know, he also, Miles listens to the podcast all the time. So it's like, let's be careful what you wish for, because he's probably going to, as soon as this, I guarantee you, this episode is going to drop, he's going to listen to it, he's going to text either you or me or both of us and be like, hey, just saying, I'm available.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Want me on again. Yeah,
he's a hustler.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, how about the second we shut the mics off? What's the first thing he does? He looks over at my sneakers and he's looking at my Jordans and he picks up a pair. He goes, what's up with these? And I'm like, what do you mean, what's up with these? He's like, how much? He's trying to buy my sneakers off of me. I'm like, get out of here.
Oh, what a great kid though. So, that was he was lively, and you know, I think he's probably one of the top surprisers of the season. Like I call the surpriser is the one where I think listeners see the name pop up and are like, I wonder if that's going to be any good.
Right.
Listening to a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, he was only 12 for one more day.
Yeah, we caught him on the cusp of
his final day, 13th, preteen.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, that's a pretty good season in review. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean
running a little bit long and boring. I don't want to bore people.
No, I don't either.
I hope you know, I don't know if anybody had a favorite out there. You can email us. Let us know who some of your favorites are. We love to hear it.
And so, by the way, happy 100th episode.
Yeah, and happy New Year.
And happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy stuff.
Yes, Merry Christmas, all that shenanigans. Man,
whatever.
It's too many holidays to
way too many.
I feel like we should just number holidays.
Yeah.
Do away with a lot of the hatred in the world.
Oh, that's a good idea. Like, holiday number one.
Columbus Day could be like holiday number 12.
Yeah. Holiday number 12.
Yeah. And everybody could just celebrate whatever their favorite holiday is every time.
Sure.
You know.
Just celebrations.
Well, listen, you can celebrate by emailing us if you want to. We love to hear from you, as you know. We did a full email episode this year, which we'd love to hear from you and talk about your emails if you got anything to say. twoguysonbi@gmail.com is our email, so please feel free to send us any questions, comments, anything like that.
Yes, and as we transition from season 4 over into season 5.
Next episode,
which will coincide with the 2024 calendar year. We would like to remind you to follow us on all the proper social media channels. And please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to us. But most importantly, just tell your friends.
Tell those friends.
Yeah.
And you know what? While we're on the subject, real quick, please send us ideas for people you'd like to hear as guests on the pod. Because, you know, we try, we come up with people. But as we know in life, we don't all walk the same circles and we don't run into the same people. So please send us emails with ideas, anything like that. All right. Yep. Well, until next time, until next year.
Until next year.
See you next year.
See ya. Hey, Rich.
What's up?
Do you want to live to be 100 years old?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
But that might change when I get closer.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is I was thinking, what if we just did one episode a year? And then do you think we could make it another 100 episodes?
I'm highly doubtful that I would question whether I could make 20 more episodes.
Okay, fair enough.
Have you seen my cholesterol?
No. Did you lose it?
Oh, and one last thing. Whether you're a local or just visiting Block Island, pick up a copy of the Block Island Guide. Published annually for the last 35 years, it features 120 pages full of killer photos and all the details you need to know. Most importantly, it's fun to read. What shall we do with Captain Sailor? What shall we do with Captain Sailor?